Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, October 12th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Diamondback to buy Firebird. Energy company's assets worth $1.6 billion. By Mella McEwen. Diamondback Energy on Tuesday announced a definitive purchase agreement to acquire all leasehold interest and related assets of Firebird Energy LLC, in a deal expected to close late in the fourth quarter. The stock and cash deal is valued at $1.6 billion, comprised of exchanging 5.86 million shares of Diamondback common stock and $775 million in cash. This bolt-on acquisition adds significant high-quality inventory right in our backyard, Diamondback Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Travis Stice said in a statement. With over 350 locations adjacent to our current Midland Basin position, this asset adds more than a decade of inventory at our anticipated development pace, including inventory that competes for capital right away in Diamondback's development plan. Also, importantly, this transaction is accretive to all relevant 2023 and 2024 financial metrics, immediately increasing expected per-share returns to our stockholders in the near term, while also improving the long-term duration of the company's cash return profile. In addition to the agreement with Firebird, the company announced it has set a target to sell at least $500 million of non-core assets by year-end 2023, with proceeds earmarked for further debt reduction. We remain committed to capital discipline by returning at least 75% of our free cash flow to stockholders, while also maintaining a fortress balance sheet, Stice said. The cash portion of the Firebird transaction is expected to be funded through a combination of cash on hand, borrowings under Diamondback's credit facility, and/or proceeds from a senior notes offering. The cash outlay at closing is expected to be about $700 million due to the expected free cash flow to be generated on the asset between the effective date and the expected closing date. In an initial reaction to the announcement, Andrew Dittmar, director at the energy-focused software-as-a-service firm Enverus, told the Reporter Telegram by email that Permian Basin mergers and acquisitions had been in a bit of a logjam because buyers and sellers are so far apart on the value of inventory. Seeing a leading company like Diamondback come to terms with a seller for a big deal is refreshing, he wrote. It looks like they were able to keep the deal modestly accretive to their own trading multiples while still adding about 400 high-quality locations. I wouldn't be surprised if this deal ignites more Permian M&A after a quiet third quarter. This article is entitled Shortage of Employees at Animal Shelter, by Stuart Doreen. A shortage of employees at the new Midland Animal Shelter has impacted operations at the East Midland facility. Animals Service Director Ty Coleman told the Midland City Council on Tuesday that having three times the space in the newer building has created issues with the number of kennel techs, and that has impacted the amount of work that can be done in the field and the number of hours the facility can be open. He said hours were adjusted so employees could spend more time on cleaning the facility, as there are issues with distemper, a contagious and serious disease caused by a virus that attacks the respiratory, gastrointestinal, and nervous systems of puppies and dogs. Coleman said the disease problems aren't exclusive to Midland, as he is hearing reports of distemper in Abilene and across Dallas-Fort Worth facilities. In the previous facility, there were 67 dog cages and 44 cat cages. Animal Services reported 88 dog runs, can double to 176 with proper staffing, and 37 mobile cages, There are at least 63 cat cages. We currently have 6 kennel tech positions, an animal services report stated. According to Humane Educators of Texas, a facility this size should have 10 to 12 kennel techs. Proper staffing isn't necessarily a salary issue, according to Coleman. He said some animal care specialists can't handle the euthanasia that is part of a city-run animal shelter. Current animal service staff vacancies include 2 full-time animal service officers, an animal services veterinarian, and a records specialist. Less people reduces quality of care, Coleman said. Animal shelter metrics. Shelter metrics include 4,285 intakes this year. That projects to a total of 6,363 for the year, which would be comparable to the 6,312 in 2021. Intakes reached 7,750 as recently as 2019. Of the intakes this year, 65% are considered strays and 22% are owners surrendered. The largest percentage of animals came from District 2, 28%, District 4, 19% was second, followed by the county, 16%. The city reported a save rate of 58%, the best percentage going back to at least 2017. The next best rate during that time was 46% in 2021. Animal bite reports year to date is 476. From 2017 to 2021, the most animal bites reported was 648 in 2019. Animal services successes. Coleman reported that a low-cost drive-through vaccine clinic served more than 250 cars, with each vehicle averaging 2 animals. He also said adoption events took place July 23rd and September 10th, with 55 total adoptions taking place. He said volunteer orientation will now be held on the second Saturday of each month. Animal Services also is working on raising the money needed for a transport vehicle, $150,000, and trailer. Events coming up include Barktoberfest from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. October 29th, a low-cost clinic from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. November 19th, Happy Holidays Christmas Open House from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. December 10th, and the Rescue Runners monthly program is set to begin January 7th. That will allow people to come to a shelter and take a pet for a run around the area. This article is called Small Bites. It is entitled, Spitz Mediterranean Street Food Offers Tasty Island Escape for Midlanders, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. After a long day skiing in Jackson Hole, Deborah Holt noticed a Mediterranean restaurant next to her hotel back in Utah. An avid Greek foodie, the businesswoman immediately fell in love with the place and knew she wanted to bring some of the delicious flair back to West Texas. So, after trying every item on the menu, Holt inquired about becoming a franchise. One thing led to another, even a vent hood on back order, creating a newly 3-month debut delay. And the Spitz Mediterranean Street Food team officially opened its Midland doors Monday. Hoping to provide a place for Midland folks to escape, Spitz's aura transports guests to the multi-island country through delectable food, poppin' drinks, and vivid art. Hot Bites. For both veteran and rookie Mediterranean eaters, at first scan, the Spitz menu may feel a little overwhelming. From gyros and fries to bowls and brunch, the listing carries an array of options, including vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, and dairy-free, sure to satisfy and meet any cravings. To help minimize the choices, consider these 3 recommendations. The crowd pleaser that gets everyone in the door is the Street Greek Gyro, Bryce Raidman, Spitz founder and CEO, told the Reporter Telegram. Our version has a zesty feta cheese spread, French fries, onions, our famous Berliner sauce, and your choice of meat wrapped in a crispy pillow pita. It's delicious. Jordan Bernhardt, Director of Operations, endorses the street cart fries, a.k.a. loaded French fries. Topped with garlic aioli, feta, onions, green peppers, tomatoes, olives, and pepperoncinis, the dish stands as a must-try for all customers. The restaurant also offers sweet potato waffle fries. Sometimes, chains offer specialty meals in one store but not another. For Spitz, kitchen size determines whether this happens with the franchise's Mediterranean flatbread pizzas, made with fresh ingredients on lavish bread, and the crispy dry-rubbed chicken wings paired with choice of sauce. In fact, only 3 of the 14 existing establishments carry the 2 meals. Nevertheless, since everything is bigger in Texas, Midlanders get to enjoy the rare options. For healthier or allergy-related options, all bowls can be made gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, or vegetarian. Other options encompass the salad section, certain wraps, and the Donner basket, mix of loaded salad and fries. Sides contain deep-fried garbanzos and olives, fried pita strips with hummus, falafel balls, and extra portions of meat, a quinoa or Greek salad, and, of course, fries. Kids can choose between a quesadilla, or lavash wrap, while desserts consist of cinnamon sugar pita chips or a unicorn baklava nut roll. Brunch ranges from sandwiches, wraps, bowls, fruit and yogurt, and more. Spitz Midland will also heavily focus on catering. Cold sips. With a full bar running from open to close, patrons can order just about anything. Produced by a Greek mixologist, craft cocktails include the Midlander Cucumber Marg, Mykonos Berry Mojita, Medi Bloody Mary, the Old Greek Fashioned, and the Santorini Martini. The bar also serves an array of draft beer, such as Dos Equis, Tall City Brewing Company, Michelob Ultra, Eccentric Brewing Company, and more. For a fruity drink experience, choose between 3 sangria flavors, rose with mint, apple and lime also available frozen, white wine with basil and peach, and red wine with cinnamon and cardamom, offered closer to winter. An original frozen margarita makes the bill as well. For wine, Spitz offers an extensive list. Moscato, Prosecco, Champagne, Chardonnay, Sauve Blanc, Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, Rosé, Malbec, Cabernet Sauvignon, Red Blend, Merlot, Zinfandel, 3 healthy for your options, and a dessert wine coming in a 3-ounce pour, perfectly paired with baklava. A happy hour menu and time frame are in the works. Overall vibes. Bright eccentric colors of pink, yellow, and blue fill the space, especially in the mural of longhorns running through a Greek village painted on the back wall. String lights make customers feel like they've entered an island-esque eating adventure, while sturdy wooden tables maintain enough space for the feast ahead. Big chandelier light fixtures hang from the ceiling, making the fairly large room feel even roomier, and the massive front patio, equipped with seating, administers a covered, yet natural ambiance for foodies looking for a more outdoor-focused time. Large digital menus hang on the wall by the front door, emitting a blue hue over the ordering station. A long bar gives plenty of TV viewing space, and carefully spaced tables form packed munching quarters with enough room to comfortably walk around. However, the likability of Spitz goes beyond the food and fresh paint job. The people who make up the restaurant's team remain some of the most outgoing, genuine, and kind people I've met so far. By combining Southern hospitality with a family-like atmosphere forged by the layout of the restaurant, personnel happily take orders at the registers, graciously visit with guests in their seats, and even joke with those sitting at the bar. They remember guest names and want every patron to feel like a long-distant relative they haven't seen for a while, shaping an environment even this metropolitan can't deny. This article is entitled Kids Have Fun-Filled Summer at Sibley Nature Center by Julie Donnelly. Sibley Nature Center had a fun-filled summer that involved children getting up close to camels, learning about wildlife, crafting, having their faces painted, and enjoying the outdoors. The annual Spring Festival kicked off the summer calendar that featured ologies, summer camps for kids, tales and trails for preschoolers, Theater Thursday, Songs at Sibley, and Brown Bag Lectures. The rest of the year will include the Festival of St. Francis on October 22nd and Sibley After Dark in early November. This article is called Biz Buzz. It is entitled Company Honors Midland Woman for Delivering Communication Solutions by Ben Schaffer. Kat Shelby, the co-owner of Shelby Technology Solutions, was recognized as an honoree on the inaugural Channel Futures 2022 Technology Advisor 101 list. This list contains the top-performing direct sales agents in the connectivity and communications channel of the information technology business nationally. Shelby Technology Solutions is a technology consulting company, Shelby said. They work with businesses of all sizes to find the right cybersecurity, phone systems, and internet plans that best suit their client. Channel Futures is a media and events platform serving information technologies company. The Informa Tech Channel Group is proud to bring to market for the first time a list of individuals who are truly best in class when it comes to delivering communication and collaboration solutions to customers of all sizes, Channel Futures said in a press release. The release added that this list is the most comprehensive list of customer-facing communications and collaboration solution providers in the industry. The big thing with me is we strive to put the customer first, and I would say secondly, we work very hard to make sure that we keep up on, for lack of a better term, the latest and greatest, or the changes in technology, Shelby said, about finding success in the IT business. Shelby worked for AT&T and an on-site phone system dealer before founding Shelby Technology Solutions. She claimed her background in sales and technology industry has served her well in West Texas. One of the advantages is, I'm one of the only agents out in this area that's actually local to Midland, Odessa, Shelby said. She also said her many years spent in West Texas has allowed her to understand the area and business personal needs. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled Biden Reevaluates U.S.-Saudi Relationship by Amer Madhani, Associated Press. Washington. President Joe Biden is reevaluating America's relationship with Saudi Arabia as the Riyadh-led OPEC Plus alliance moves to cut oil production, and Democratic lawmakers call for a freeze on cooperation with the Saudis. John Kirby, the Strategic Communications Coordinator for the National Security Council at the White House, said Tuesday that Biden believes, quote, it's time to take another look at this relationship and make sure that it's serving our national security interests, unquote. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut and Representative Ro Khanna of California on Tuesday introduced legislation that would immediately pause all U.S. arms sales to Saudi Arabia for 1 year. This pause would also halt sales of spare and repair parts, support services, and logistical support. But it remains to be seen how far Biden is willing to go in showing his displeasure with the Saudis, a vital but complicated ally in the Middle East. Biden came into office vowing to recalibrate the U.S. relationship because of Saudi Arabia's human rights record, but then paid a visit to the kingdom earlier this year. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Tuesday the White House has no timeline for its review. Meanwhile, officials underscore the central role that Saudi Arabia plays in addressing broader national security concerns in the Middle East. Blumenthal and Khanna unveiled their legislation one day after Senator Robert Menendez, a New Jersey Democrat, said it was unacceptable that OPEC Plus had moved to cut oil production and effectively bolster Russian coffers as Moscow prosecutes its war on Ukraine. Menendez promised to use his position as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to block any future arms sales to the Saudis. At the White House, Kirby said, "We're going to take a look at this relationship seriously, as well as taking seriously the concerns of members of Congress." Menendez did not warn the White House before announcing his intention to block future Saudi arms sales, Kirby said. OPEC Plus, which includes Russia as well as Saudi Arabia, announced last week it would cut production by 2 million barrels a day, which will help prop up oil prices that are allowing Russian President Vladimir Putin to keep paying for his 8-month invasion of Ukraine. The production cut also hurts U.S.-led efforts to make the war financially unsustainable for Russia, threatens a global economy already destabilized by the Ukraine conflict, and risks saddling Biden and Democrats with newly rising gasoline prices just ahead of the U.S. midterm elections. Biden and European leaders have urged more oil production to ease gasoline prices and punish Moscow for its aggression in Ukraine. Putin has been accused of using energy as a weapon against countries opposing Russia's invasion. As for the Saudis, Senator Blumenthal said, "We cannot continue selling highly sensitive arms technology to a nation aligned with an abhorrent terrorist adversary." However, the White House takes note that its weapon sales to Riyadh serve in part as an important counterweight in the region to Iran, which is quickly moving toward becoming a nuclear power. There's 70,000 Americans living in Saudi Arabia right now, not to mention all the other troops we have throughout the region, Kirby said. So it's not only in our interest that missile defense in the region become more integrated and cooperative. It's in the interest of our allies and partners in that part of the world as well. Still, the pressure is mounting for Biden. As a candidate for the White House, he vowed that Saudi rulers would, quote, pay the price, unquote, under his watch for the 2018 killing of U.S.-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi, a critic of the kingdom's leadership. Biden said that he'd look to make the oil-rich country a pariah. But in July, amid rising prices at the pump around the globe, Biden decided to pay a visit to Saudi Arabia. During the visit, he met with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who he once shunned as a killer for the death of Khashoggi. The U.S. intelligence community determined that the Crown Prince, often referred to by his initials MBS, likely approved the killing of Khashoggi inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. MBS denies he was involved. The Saudis also have drawn international criticism for airstrikes killing civilians in the years-long war between the kingdom and Houthi rebels in Yemen, as well as for embargoes that exacerbated hunger and pushed Yemen to the brink of famine. Saudi Arabia's disastrous decision to slash oil production by 2 million barrels a day makes it clear that Riyadh is seeking to harm the U.S. and reaffirms the need to reassess the U.S.-Saudi relationship, Representative Khanna said. There is no reason for the U.S. to kowtow to a regime that has massacred countless civilians in Yemen, hacked to death a Washington-based journalist, and is now extorting Americans at the pump. This article is entitled, "Oil Falls a Second Day as Slowdown Fears Clip OPEC-Driven Gains," by Elena Peng and Julia Fanzeres, Bloomberg. Oil slumped as fears of a global economic slowdown overshadowed the threat of tighter crude supplies from OPEC and its partners. West Texas Intermediate settled near $89 a barrel, further trimming gains that crude made last week in the wake of a decision by the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies to cut output. Prominent Wall Street figures, including J.P. Morgan Chase & Company Chief Executive Officer Jamie Dimon, said the U.S. and global economies are likely to sink into recession next year. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank also saw rising risks of a slowdown. The lack of risk appetite and technical moves looked to be responsible for driving crude lower after a very few bullish sessions in the aftermath of the OPEC Plus quota cut announcement, said Bart Mellick, head of commodity strategy at TD Securities. Oil fell last month to its lowest since January as slowdown concerns gathered force, later rallying after the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies responded by reducing output. Investors are weighing how higher interest rates intended to fight inflation will impact demand against supply disruptions caused by the war in Ukraine heading into the Northern Hemisphere's winter. Further clouding the demand outlook, in China, the world's largest crude importer, authorities are signaling that there'll be no let-up in the nation's COVID-zero policy. The approach is sustainable, and the country must stick to it, as it is key to stabilizing the economy and protecting lives, the Communist Party's flagship newspaper said in a commentary Tuesday. European Union sanctions on Russia, which are set to take effect December 5th, are also beginning to affect trading because of the time lag between purchasing a cargo and getting it to its destination. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, October 12th. Bob Wayne Dutton. Bob Wayne Dutton, 75, of Midland, passed away on October 8th. A celebration of life will be held on Friday, October 14th at 2 p.m. at First Methodist Church in Midland. He was born in Borger, Texas on March 12, 1947 to Bob and Mary Dutton. Bob was preceded in death by his parents, Mary and Bob Dutton, and by his younger sister, Becky Groover. He is survived by Letty Dutton, his wife of 54 years. He is also survived by his daughters, Robin Cookston, husband Jeff of San Francisco, and Laura Wepper, husband Stephen of Austin, his brother Richard Dutton, wife Barbara of Palestine, Texas, and his brother-in-law Davis Groover of Littlefield, Texas, his brother-in-law Wayne Ingram of Canyon, Texas, five wonderful grandchildren, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. If you would like to honor Bob's memory, the family suggests the West Texas Food Bank, Habitat for Humanity, or First Methodist Church of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. David Cress Brooks. David Cress Brooks passed away August 26 at the Monroe City Manor Care Center in Monroe City, Missouri, after a long illness. David was born March 14, 1948, in Midland. He was the son of the late Richard S. Brooks and Annie Mae Cress Brooks. He grew up in Midland and attended Midland Public Schools. David is survived by a sister, Ann Brooks Ramsey, and husband Harry of Sedona, Arizona, and a brother, Richard Brooks, of Midland. A graveside service will be held at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland on Friday, October 14th, at 11 a.m., with Don Mitchell of the Fairmont Park Church of Christ officiating. Death Notices. Evelyn Kent. Evelyn Kent, 86, of Midland, passed away October 8th. A family service in Oklahoma is pending. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Mattie Mae Carter. Mattie Mae Carter, 80, passed away on October 1st. Viewing will be Thursday, October 13th, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., with receiving of friends at 5 p.m. Thursday evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home, Room B. Funeral service will be Friday, October 14th, at Goodwill Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com.
Hello, this is Michael, and I am reading from the Odessa American, published Wednesday, October 12, 2022. Front page. New Library Architecture Going for Bid by Royal McGregor. The Ector County Commissioner's Court on Tuesday unanimously approved specifications on a request for qualifications for architectural services to build a new library. This will allow architecture firms to bid on designing the new Ector County Library. The architecture firm would also give a desired location on where the new library would be built. When Commissioner for Precinct 4, Armando Rodriguez, asked Ector County Library Director Howard Marks about who would have the final say on the design and location of the new library, Marks said he hopes it would be a joint decision between the Ector County Library Committee and the Commissioner's Court. "We believe it will hopefully be a joint decision, but it's ultimately up to you all," Marks said as he gestured to the members of the court. Marks on Monday said the current schedule is to officially start the bidding process and have that continue until November 21st. Marks said after that, a three-week evaluation process will take place, and then hopefully a decision about the new library will be made before Christmas. Those remarks continued during Tuesday's meetings as Marks said he wants Ector County Judge Debbie Hayes and Rodriguez, who both will be leaving the commissioner's court at the end of the year, to have a vote on what the new library would look like and where it will be located. Hayes spoke with members of the media after Tuesday's meeting and said she wants the new library to be multifaceted. She also said she hopes there will be special sessions to show architecture renderings of where and what the new library could look like. "I don't live in a box, so my vision for the library is multifaceted, to where the younger generation can come in and do podcasting," she said. "There are exhibits inside the library, no different than exhibits inside the Ellen Noel Art Museum, that we would have guest speakers in the library, that we partner with the West Texas Food Bank to teach a generation how to prepare meals so we don't have an overrun of diabetic children and adults in our community, which drives up the cost of insurance." The commissioners also unanimously approved a Memorandum of Understanding for a Friends of the Ector County Library grant for $25,000 for 2022-2023, approved an agreement for Gale Cengage XL Adult High School, approved a three-year annual license agreement for Beanstack Services, and approved a license agreement for Newsbank Electronic Research Database Subscription. The court also approved the contract proposal for Offender Watch, approved a request to hire a department coordinator at a Step 7 due to experience, approved action on Pentacourt, a subdivision of 5 acres in Section 25, Block 44, T2S TNPRY County Survey, Precinct 1, Ector County, Texas, and authorized the county judge to sign. Approved action on a replat of the West 108 fleet of Lot 6, Block 26, West Ridge Subdivision, second filing being a replat of 1.96 acres in Section 20, Block 43, T2S, TNPRR County Survey, Precinct 1, Ector County, Texas, and authorized the county judge to sign. Approved action on a proposed MHRC development to serve 427 West 57th Street, 1.71 acre tract, located in Lakeview Subdivision, Section 4, Lot 49, Block 42, Precinct 1, Ortega, Ector County, Texas, and authorized the county judge to sign. Approved the following proposal consent agenda. Approved a line item transfer on general fund, jail equipment maintenance and repair, 001-420-5252 from contract services, 001-420-5309 for $95,000. Approved a line item transfer to general fund, Commissioner Precinct 4, Educational Travel, 001-0245161, from Commissioner Precinct 1, Educational Level, 001-021-5161, for $710. Approved the Accounts Payable Fund Requirements Report for October 11th, 2022, to review county financial statements and reports. Fall Marketplace returns for 14th year by Michael Bauer, Midland. For 14 years now, Sobel & Company and producer of Keeping Good Company, Brandy Bell, has aimed to spotlight female-owned businesses from around West Texas at the Fall Marketplace. This year, the annual event returns beginning at 7 p.m. Thursday and finishing up Saturday at the Little Teeny Farm located at 4405 Cardinal Lane in Midland. This year, the Fall Marketplace will host over 30 businesses owned by women as well as local authors. "We're super excited," Bell said. "This is our seventh year to have it out here at Little Teeny Farm." Before the Fall Marketplace moved to Little Teeny Farm, Bell said it took place at a variety of different places and was much smaller. "We have grown," Bell said. "It looks like the weather is going to be amazing and feel like fall. We have our same all-female market crew. We have 30 female vendors. They have everything from natural bath products to boutique clothing. We have husbands that come out and support them as well. We have some young entrepreneurs, our youngest of which is 4 years old. She will have her mad science kits. A few of the girls have been coming here for a couple of years. It's been fun watching them grow their own business and even change businesses." When she started the Fall Marketplace, Bell said she wanted a spot where female entrepreneurs could help build their businesses. "As a female entrepreneur for the last 25 years, I just really wanted to create space where women could grow their business without pressure and to be able to really have a safe place to come out and just discover who they are and what they want to do," Bell said. "That's one of the fun things." Bell founded her multimedia company, Sobel & Company, in 2012. This year, her new television series that she produces, called Keeping Good Company, began airing its first season. Keeping Good Company is a hospitality and design television show filmed throughout West Texas and based out of Midland. The show airs each Thursday at 1 p.m. on KWES-TV Channel 9 and on YouTube. The main focus of the show is community involvement, portraying the giving heart of West Texas people and values while entertaining viewers with DIY projects, hospitality inspiration, gardening tips, party planning, cooking and baking, travel, and more. This year, the Marketplace will help benefit the Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center. "Each episode, our heart is to serve someone in a really simple way, like, how can we come together as a community to really show a person or organization that they're important to us?" Bell said. "That's the heart of the show and the heart of the market. With the market, it's a lot sweeter because, yes, we're coming together to show Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center that we appreciate them for what they've done for the community, and we're excited to support. But even more than that, we're getting the opportunity to tell these women entrepreneurs that they are important to our community and that their small business matters." The Fall Marketplace will kick off with a Neighbors Night from 7 to 9 p.m. The night will include live music from Angel and the Bad Men. "They're amazing," Bell said of Angel and the Bad Men. "First off, they're all from West Texas. They wrote the theme song for the TV show, and it's an amazing theme song. They have a heart for the community. Having them come out and play for the community, people are going to love them. They're a part of our show in many ways, so we love that we're getting to share that with them." Thursday's event will also include a Frolic and Frizz Mobile Bar and Kitchen by Lori Food Truck. Tickets are $10 per person and are now on sale at tinyurl.com/MRXURKZB. "It's going to be beautiful," Bell said. "We'll have a cantina lights and hay and pumpkins and cider. It's going to be really magical." 100% of the proceeds from ticket sales for Thursday night will benefit the Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center. From noon to 6 p.m. on October 14th and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. October 15th, The weekend events will offer free photos with the fall backdrop, a scavenger hunt, an apple cider station, giveaways, women-owned vendor booths, and more. Friday and Saturday's events are free to the public. 10% of all market items purchased will also benefit Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center. The first fall marketplace had just one vendor, along with Belle. "It was one lady selling earrings," Belle said. "It was me teaching DIYs, and I had hors d'oeuvres. We used the money to help a mom send a kid to camp. The next year, I had two vendors, and I taught some more DIYs. And the next year, we had five, and we helped someone with adoption fees. Each year, it's grown. Then we moved out here to Teeny Farms. We have acreage and space, and I told my husband that we can be a lot bigger than we used to be. So the first year out here, we had 15. More information about Keeping Good Company can be found online at tinyurl.com/MR2T8JDB. Quick hits. Story time. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled story time from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Wednesdays through October 26th in the Children's Department. For more information, call 432-332-0633. ECUD Director's Workshop. The Ector County Utility District, ECUD, 1039 North Moss Avenue, has scheduled a Director's Workshop beginning at 1:30 p.m., and the meeting will commence at 2:30 p.m. today in the Director's Room Board. For agenda or more information, visit tinyurl.com/5N89RD5C. Free STI Testing and Treatment. Texas Tech Physicians Family Medicine Clinic, 702 West 5th Street, is offering free STI testing and treatment from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesdays. Appointments are not required. For more information, call 432-703-5066. English classes. Second Baptist Odessa, 711 East 17th Street, has scheduled classes in English as a second language at 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays. Classes are free and childcare is available. Call 432-366-2153. Line dancing class. Mission Fitness, 8050 East Highway 191, has scheduled a line dancing class at 6:50 p.m. Wednesdays. Registration is not required. Admission is free. People of all skill levels are welcome. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/Y4DY933R. Volunteer poll watchers needed. Commissioner Mike Gardner, Ector County Precinct 1, has announced the need for poll watcher volunteers. Training will take place at 2 p.m. October 21st at the Ector County Republican Headquarters, 707 Jefferson Avenue. Training takes about 45 minutes. There is no interaction with the public. The objective is to observe the election process to ensure it is fair and honest. To sign up for volunteer schedule or more information, visit tinyurl.com/4C5JURX4. Early voting set. Early voting for the November 8th general and the Ector County Utility District election runs from October 24th to November 4th. Registered voters may also visit the webpage for early voting schedules, election day voting centers, and sample ballots. Ector, tinyurl.com/MRXN4YVD. Midland, tinyurl.com/36B5A3CT. Secretary of State, www.sos.state.tx.us. Voters may also call the elections office for location information. For Odessa, call 432-498-4030. And Midland, 432-688-4890.
and the local news roundup. Odessan accused in assault. An Odessa man who told deputies he was upset after seeing his former common law wife dancing with another man was arrested Sunday night after allegedly breaking into her home, assaulting her, and destroying property. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, a 29-year-old woman told deputies she was sleeping with her 3-year-old daughter when she heard someone trying to break into their home on Benefield Avenue around 9:30 p.m. Sunday. She said she saw her former boyfriend, Adrian Hinholsis, break a glass window in her back door and come inside while she was on the phone with 911. The woman told deputies Hinholsis grabbed her cell phone and threw it, causing it to shatter, while screaming at her about the man she'd been dancing with the night prior. According to the report, she said, he ripped her shirt off, grabbed her by both arms, and hit her in the mouth. She further alleged that he knocked her TV and other items off her dresser and emptied her dresser drawers as the deputies were arriving, the report stated. Deputies reported they saw fresh scratch marks and red marks on her arms in the shape of fingernails and a cut on her upper lip. They also noticed the back door frame had been broken along with a cell phone and 2 kitchen chairs. Numerous items were also on the floor, including a flat-screen TV. He was wearing a shirt when deputies arrived, told them he'd been drinking, and intentionally forced his way into the house because he was angry about the woman walking and dancing with another man, the report said. Hinholsis was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a habitation with intent to commit a felony, a first-degree felony punishable by 5 years to life in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail Tuesday on a $50,000 surety bond. Next is a son accused of dragging father with car. A 19-year-old Odessa man was arrested Sunday after his father told the Ector County Sheriff's Office he dragged him several feet with a car during an argument. According to an ECSO report, deputies were sent to Slaw Cole Road around 2:40 p.m. Sunday about a disturbance, and when they arrived, a 39-year-old man said he'd been arguing with his son, Louis Raymond Hernandez, about maintaining a 2019 Subaru. The older man said he was removing the car keys while standing with the door open when his son drove away. According to the report, the man said he kept a hold of the steering wheel with both hands until his son got to a neighbor's property south of their residence, his legs dragging the whole time and causing minor injuries. Although the older man said he didn't want charges filed against his son, he just wanted him to leave. Deputies arrested Hernandez on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon to prevent further family violence from occurring, the report stated. The charge is a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Hernandez remained in custody Tuesday on a $20,000 surety bond. Two die in separate Permian Basin wrecks. A 79-year-old Seagraves woman and a 50-year-old California man have died in recent days in separate Permian Basin wrecks. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Brian Alejandro Armendariz, 21, of Loop, was driving north on U.S. 62 in a GMC Sierra when he entered the southbound lanes near the Seagraves city limits around 5:30 a.m. Sunday. Armendariz then struck a Toyota RAV4 being driven by Patricia Espeland Wingo. Wingo, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was taken to Brownfield Regional Medical Center, where she died as a result of her injuries. Armendariz was arrested on suspicion of intoxicating manslaughter and booked into the Gaines County Jail, according to DPS. At around 10 a.m. Monday, Donald Edward Simmons, Jr. of Stockton, California, was driving a Ford Expedition on Interstate Highway 20 when a tire blew, causing the vehicle to go off the roadway into the North Barrow Ditch and roll, according to DPS. Simmons, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the Ford and pronounced dead at Ward Memorial Hospital. A 55-year-old Stockton, California woman who was wearing a seatbelt was treated at Ward County Hospital and released. two men were arrested following an undercover sting. Two men are facing a solicitation of prostitution charge after being caught up in a recent Texas Department of Public Safety undercover operation. According to DPS reports, Casey Brent Villanueva, 30, and Angel Robles, 27, both responded via text message to an online advertisement for prostitution on September the 27th and engaged in separate text conversations with an undercover police officer. During the course of the conversation, both men agreed to pay specific amounts for sex acts and showed up at the hotel room where they expected the sex acts to occur. Villanueva and Robles were arrested on suspicion of solicitation of prostitution, a state jail felony punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison. Both men were released from the Ector County Jail after paying surety bonds of $5,000 each. Ector County Sheriff's Office deputies arrested a local man recently after seeing him walking down the road carrying aluminum wire moments after getting a theft-in-progress call. According to an ECSO report, deputies received a 911 call from AAL Investments on 68th Street on September the 27th, and the caller told them a man wearing a red T-shirt had just taken aluminum wire from the property. Deputies spotted Skyler Don Conklin, who was wearing a red T-shirt, walking on Judy Street and carrying aluminum wire, the report stated. Conklin, 27, was caught on video and photographed while putting the wire over the fence at AAL Investments, according to the report. Conklin was arrested on suspicion of theft of material under $20,000, and he remained in the Ector County Jail Tuesday on a $5,000 surety bond. And here's an interesting fact. For 982 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through October the 11th, 2022, the city has spent more than $209,854.42 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.